Right, good evening, everyone. I have to get it set up real quick. So, today I just wanted to look at, I did a study on tongues, and I wanted to have a look at that and the sign gifts as well. And I was inspired to do this study because about this time last year, I went to a camp that my school promoted, and it was called Alpha. And when I went to this camp, the very first night, they had singing, and then like the singing would stop, and everyone just started like speaking in tongues and putting their hands on each other. I was pretty confused what was happening because I've grown up in a Baptist church my whole life. And then after that all happened, a lady came and gave the sermon, which is already a put off. And then after that, they had an open mic and they just said, anyone who wants to give a prophecy can just come up and give it. So they just started coming up the front and they started just prophesying things. And I was just stood there holding my Bible. And then he started pointing me out and he's like, oh, I feel you have the spirit of Joseph. I was just really confused what was happening. I've never seen anything like it. So my parents picked me up on the first night. They said, you don't really need to be there. And then I came back and I was just, because I've always been told that, yeah, that's all ceased, but I never actually looked at it for myself. So I sat down with my Jedha, and he gave me this book from Keith Piper, and I sat down, read it, and then I did a study, and then Pastor said, do you want to give a study? So I just thought, yeah, and I redid my study, and that's why I'm here now. So there will be a lot of Bible verses, so there's lots of toning, but it'll be good. So I had three questions that I asked, and the first one was, what was the original purpose of the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit? So we see Paul addressing these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, which will be the main passage, if you just keep a finger there. But right before I want to start here, we'll go to John 14. So we see the book of 1 Corinthians was written because there were a lot of contentions in the church. They were saying that, oh, I'm better than you because God's given me this gift and I'm more blessed than you. And there were a lot of debates there. And it was written about 53 to 54 AD, about 15, 20 years after Jesus ascended. And I just want to have a look real quick at the Holy Spirit here, Jesus saying that he would give the Comforter. So in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, we'll read, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. If you go back a few chapters to John chapter 7, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, reads, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive in the future, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And this is backed up by John 14, it says, 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall in the future be in you. So this is the first time that the believers are having the Holy Spirit actually live in them. And they were empowered by the Holy Spirit as well. And they were given supernatural abilities, but there were many different gifts given. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul addresses this list here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So Paul, like I said before, he's writing here because they're having contention, saying that they're better than each other. And Paul really discourages this. If you read from verse 4 in chapter 12, it says, now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So he's just saying here, there's different things, but it's the same God who works through it all. In verse 14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him." So he's saying that God is the one who chooses who has what, and it's not because you're better than each other. You can't all have the same thing, because there wouldn't be a body. So I just want to come back to that question, what was the original purpose? And I have 3 points here. The gifts, well, specifically the sign gifts, were given for multiple reasons. And the first was to glorify God. And any time Jesus taught or did perform miracles in front of crowds, it was always to bring them back to God, bring them to the gospel. And this is no different. The intentions that these gifts were given were to bring people to know Jesus and bring them to know the Lord and glorify God. Second thing I see here is that it was to establish the church. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." So we see in verse 20, "and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." And that they were given these gifts, and that was to establish the church. They were given as a way of direct revelation to the church, because at this time they didn't have the complete word of God. But we'll come back to that later. And the third thing I want to point out was it was a sign to the Jews. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, it reads, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." What you'll notice is any instance in the Bible where tongues did occur, there were Jews always present at that time. So I'll look at just two examples. In Acts 2, which is the day of Pentecost, very famous. It was the first instance of tongues occurring here. But yeah, Acts 2 verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And this is the part here in verse 5. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." So there were Jews there. This is one instance. And then in Acts 10, if you just flip a few pages down, Acts 10, in verses 44, I read from 44 to 48. It says, "While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which were the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost." So they're saying it was also on the others. "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days." So we see there were also Jews present here. And you'll notice whenever these supernatural manifestations happen, so when they were healing, raising the dead, prophesying, or even tongues, they occurred when there were Jews present. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 8, and Acts 19, you'll all see this. So it was a sign to the Jews that God's kingdom was for everyone and not just them. Pentecost showed that all believers could be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what was the original purpose of the gifts? They were to glorify God, establish the church, and they were assigned to the Jews. Second question I was asking was, well, what do churches nowadays perform these gifts correctly, or are there errors in it? And when I studied it, I found there was a lot of things that were wrong with it. So the first thing I want to notice is that tongues were actually classed as one of the lowest gifts. So if we come back to 1 Corinthians 12, if you like, you can just stay in 1 Corinthians 12 and I'll go to the other ones. But 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, we can see this is actually a ranked list because it says, verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. It's listed last here. What we also notice is that it's one of the least desired gifts. If you look at verse 31, it says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 13, verse 13 reads, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Chapter 14, verse 1, you'll notice this is straight after it, so there's no, when it was originally written, it wasn't split here, but follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. You don't see that tongues is mentioned as one of the greatest ones here. Actually, it's one of the least. And that's something that is wrong. They put it as like one of the highest things that you need to do. So tongues were classed as one of the lowest gifts. Second thing is that these gifts were given according to God's will and not our own. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And verses 3 to 4 reads, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So see, it's according to God's own will. And the Bible never tells us that you should go and pray to the Lord and seek for these gifts, because it was always God who chose who had what. And God will choose who has these gifts as it suits him. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 to 18 reads, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Other examples are given, but in verse 18 it says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So God chose who has what as it pleases him. And you'll see on the instances where tongues did occur in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19, they never asked the Lord to have that. It was just, it said the Holy Spirit fell on them and they had it. So that was the second thing. Tongues were given according to God's sovereign will and not our own. Third thing is, tongues were never a sign of baptism or salvation. Never does the Bible say that salvation is only granted to those who can speak in tongues. In fact, it's completely the opposite, but that salvation is a gift. In John 14:6, for example, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's through Christ alone, no other way. Never does it say that. If you don't speak in tongues, then you're going to hell. And when churches do teach this, it causes tongues to be nothing but a learnt behavior. I have a mate at school who I was talking to, I think it was last year, and he was just talking to me about his church. He goes to a Pentecostal church, and he said, oh yeah, we speak in tongues, we do all these things. And I asked him, like, do you speak in tongues? He says, I do. I said, why? Like, why do you speak in tongues? And he said, oh, I was told I had to, so I do. Yeah, I said, yes, but why do you? And he says, oh, I don't really know, I just do it. And I know there's Christians who do know why they do it, but I was just, like, he's just being taught that he has to do it or else he's not saved. And yeah, the Bible never teaches this. So the third thing was, tongues is not a sign of baptism or salvation. Fourthly, tongues were never intended for prayer, praise, or worship. And we can see that the Corinthians were using the gifts out of place that the Holy Spirit gave them. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." So, obviously, God doesn't require us to speak in another language for him to understand us. But we can see that tongues were meant to be spoken to men, specifically in the presence of Jews. And whoever sings or prays in tongues is just speaking mysteries, like it says in this verse. "Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." And we go to verse 13 to 16, it reads, "Wherefore," this is chapter 14, "wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest?" Have you ever said amen and you heard a prayer in another language? So sometimes I've heard someone pray in Spanish or something, and you just say amen at the prayer, but you have no clue what he said. He could have said anything. And yeah, so, oh, sorry. Whoever sings or prays in tongues is just speaking in mysteries. We don't, like it says, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? So they don't understand what you're saying. That's not what it was intended for. It wasn't intended for prayer, praise, or worship. The fifth thing I want to point out is tongues are not supposed to be chaotic or spontaneous. And this is something you'll see very frequently in churches, that I see videos of people lying on the floor and people coming up and putting hands and laying these cloths over them. And then they're just in prayers, they're just all speaking in tongues at the same time. And what Paul points out is that if everyone speaks at the same time, there's no benefit to it. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 18 to 23 reads, verse 18, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Verse 23, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad?" And that's what it looks like. You see them all doing it. And to those, like it says, who don't know what's happening or are unsaved, they have no clue what's going on. And they think they're crazy. Another thing to note is, there's only supposed to be a maximum of two or three people speaking at a time. We'll read in verse 26. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God." And that's another thing you'll see. Many people don't interpret it at all. They just speak it. And what I want to point out as well is that God is a God of order. So it's not supposed to be chaotic or spontaneous. in chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." And looking back at verse 23, it says, "Will they not say that ye are mad?" And God's not the author of confusion. And that's confusing to me if they think you're crazy. But verse 39 to 40 says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order." So it's all supposed to be in order and for a purpose. So tongues are not supposed to be chaotic or spontaneous. So that was to answer my second question. What are the errors within the sign gift practices in today's churches? First, tongues were classed as one of the lowest gifts. Gifts were given according to God's will and not our own. Tongues is not a sign of salvation or baptism by the Holy Spirit. Tongues were never intended for prayer, praise, or worship. Tongues are not supposed to be chaotic or spontaneous. And the third question I was asking was, are these gifts apparent today? Are they still around or have they ceased? And when I studied this, this was really interesting. The historical evidence that tongues had ceased. So historically, tongues ceased between the time 63 to 70 AD, after, in Acts 28, Israel purposely rejected the apostles' testimony of Jesus Christ. We won't turn there, but you can read that they rejected. Some believed and some didn't believe. In regards to the sign gifts as a whole, we can see evidence of them fading out. So, for instance, Paul was losing his power to heal. In 1 Timothy 5:23, he says to Timothy to have a little wine for thy stomach's sake. And in Philippians 2, verse 25 to 30, one of Paul's friends was sick unto the point of death. And it says, but God healed him. And if Paul had this ability to heal, I don't understand why he wouldn't. And what I like to note is that it did say that God had mercy on him and God healed him. And now I'm not saying that God does not heal nowadays. I 100% believe that if we pray and it's according to God's will, that he will heal. But I don't believe it is like how it was in this time. Throughout the book of Romans, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude and Revelation, you won't find any mention of tongues at all. And why? Because the word of God was confirmed. And this was really interesting to me. If you go to Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verses 15. It reads, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Verse 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Now, if we look at Hebrews 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. We read this verse just before, but you'll notice here, it says, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" So they're already looking back on this, and it says, "was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." And we see that in Mark 16, the ones that were hearing. And it says that in verse 20, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word." And now here it says that it was confirmed. So why is tongues never mentioned in these books? Because the word of God was confirmed. Israel was set aside after the rejection in Acts 28. And therefore, these gifts were no longer necessary. What you'll notice is early church writers such as Polycarp, Papias, I'm probably going to mispronounce some of these, but Cyprian, Chrysostom, Augustine, Origen, Clement of Rome, Justin Martyr, and more never mentioned tongues at all. In fact, Chrysostom said, tongues used to occur, but now no longer takes place. So that was just my first thing there was, are they apparent today? The historical evidence that they ceased. Last two will be very quick. Second one was, the sign gifts were given until the canon of scripture was completed. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10 we'll read. It says, verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. After that camp, when I came back to school, I sat down with my the chaplain at the school who organized us going over there. And I showed him this verse because I was at a second break and I was sitting there just talking about tongues and these gifts in general. And he said, that verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And he says, but that's Jesus. And I said, I don't believe that can be Jesus. It's not in italics like it was an added word. I don't believe that Jesus or God is an it or a that. I believe it's a personal being. And looking at the evidence, that the historical evidence of it, I believe that that's referring to the canon of scripture being completed. And the third thing was that I believe that those who practice these gifts have been deceived. I see many clips of like mega church preachers putting their hands on their head saying, bald spots, go away. And everyone repeats after him, bald spots, go away. And like, that would be like pretty attractive if you're an unbeliever and you want these things to happen to you. Like I saw one, he's like, had one leg that was shorter than the other. And he's like proclaiming that his leg grows longer. And anyway, it was just, surely there's better use of these gifts than that. But many people, like many preachers and just people in general, claim that they have these same abilities that Paul and Peter had. And like I said, this can be very attractive to those who are uneducated. And what I want to notice is that John warns us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. First John chapter 4, verse 1, he reads, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We also note in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Paul also warned us that Satan can deceive. Satan can appear as an angel of light. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 to 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You see many people, like Joseph Smith said he had an angel appear unto him. Muhammad said he also had an angel appear to him. Wouldn't it be reasonable that those who are deceived by an angel of light appear as ministers of light? We're also warned that, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 24, 4, that there will be deceivers. It says, Matthew 24, 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So I just want to just summarize that last one. Are they apparent today? I believe the historical evidence points to them ceasing. I believe the gifts were given until the canon of scripture was completed and that those who do practice these gifts have been deceived. And I just want to read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22. It says, wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And I want to say tongues and the sign gifts' original purpose was to establish the church and to be a sign to the Jews. And if you compare that to prophecy here, it says, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe, not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. You see the difference is that prophesying was for those who do believe, but tongues was for those who don't believe. So I do think there are many errors within the churches who perform this today, but overall I do believe that the evidence shows that these gifts have ceased. All right, thank you.